Beckham pop, big gun Brian Petrie giving out the lock. One is mortal, you know it won't miss. Gonna take a shot. Dog lock, that's the underdog. Yeah, they in the hunt. Send them home, that's KO or submission. Yeah, somebody done. Slime ball, yeah, that's the parlay. We gon' make it known. Pick 'em pod from MMA tapes. Yeah, let's get it gone.
Yeah, 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 yeah. What's up? With the what's up, bet? What's up? Sorry about last week. My daughter was sick. I'm happy to report that she is doing just fine. She is back. Try not to be a hypochondriac parent. Try not to be all crazy and take her to the hospital all the time. You know, kids run fevers. Kid gets sick. But, you know, she had this weird thing with her neck. And our doctor was like, well, she might have this. And we're like, what the fuck? Took her to the hospital. She stayed the night. She's okay. She's all right. I'm a little sick. I used to be able to shake off colds a day. 2 days, 10 days, 10 days. Now I fucking shake this thing off, but welcome to the podcast. We got 14 fights to go. Wasn't on last week. Got my dick kicked in. I submitted to picks. Thank you for all the kind words, everyone out there. Real quick. I know some of you don't like when I do personal stuff, not trying to be personal, trying to be 100% be in this. I don't have an outro song. Now, of course, I could go and call up Young Griff, but I don't really want a song. There was a, I believe it was a podcast, and it was one guy. I went to my DMs. He was the one that made me my old outro with John Anik in the clips of him saying my name and stuff like that. Fire. I don't have it on my computer. I went to the DMs of my Twitters, and they no longer have a Twitter account. They had a podcast. I know they invited me, tried to invite me on one time. The podcast handle that they sent it to me is no longer existing. I don't remember the guy's name because I'm a fucking piece of shit. So if you listen, still listen to the show, and you were the one that made me that outro, can you send me that file and or make me another one? I'll make it worth your while. DMs are open. And if that person is no longer listens to the show because they hate the personal stuff in the beginning, anyone out there that can maybe put clips together of me, put clips together of John saying me, put over some music, make a little quick 20-30 second outro, I'll make it worth your while. I can pay you some cash. I can send you something from johnanik.com, whatever you want, or mmatakes.com. You want one of my shit that no one buys, whatever you want. I'll make it worth your while. If you're talented or if audio is like your hobby or whatever, you can create me something for the outro. That'd be fucking mwah, gorgeous. So one last thing before we get into it, got my dick dent kicked last week. Ever since I brought up the slime ball parlay was 4-4, we've dropped 2 in a row. Green Hammer lost as well, right? Did the Green Hammer lose last week? I think it did, right? What was the Green Hammer? I got it written down here because I'm an old guy. Rose by KO plus 140. Yeah, that lost. Didn't even come close on that one. But we're back this week. We're ready to win some fucking tickets. Ah, ready to win. Good fight card here. At the end of the show, I will be doing a review of the Roadhouse movie. I was going to do it at the beginning of the show. Figure people might not want to hear that. So after the picks, after the slime ball, after all that shit, I will be doing a review of the Roadhouse movie. If you've been with me for a while, speaking of outros, a sound clip of the Roadhouse movie when Dalton first got involved was my old outro. My all-time favorite movie, one of them. I know people think it's like I'm making a joke because it's very corny and it's not like a great movie. It is a great movie. It's the corniest in the best way. They remade it with Connor. I'll give you my thoughts on that, Jake Gyllenhaal and all that stuff. But let's get to some motherfucking picks. Huh? Let's get to some picks. We're back. We're excited. We're ready to go. First fight of the night, Angel Pacheco versus Callan. I think it's Callan Longlin. Longlin? I can't pronounce these. I can't pronounce anybody's name. But the Irish kid with the Drew Dober head who talked all that shit about French people and all this stuff and laid a fucking egg in his debut against Tadalapoulos. Not only did he lay an egg, but, I mean, the dude didn't really even show up. Like, he talked all that shit. And Taylor is an okay fighter, right? But Callan, all he wanted to do was take this dude down, hunting for the takedowns, couldn't do it, had no plan, only landed 48 strikes, got outstruck. Has a good chin, has a good motor. And, you know, I'm starting to wonder if Cage Warriors guys are that good. This guy was a double champion, Cage Warriors. He's only, you know, 8-1 is his record, right? Is that his record? 8-1. He's young, 27 years old. He's young. Let's pump the brakes. They give him a good matchup here at first fight of the night over here in Atlantic City. He's a minus 360 favorite, by the way. And Angel Pacheco is plus 285. Angel's a guy that got dropped about 15, 16 times by Danny Silva on the Contender Series. Gets dropped in almost every single one of his fights, but he's durable, he's tough. coming down to 135 from 135 from 145. If my memory serves correctly, 32 years old. I see a lot of people on Twitter not loving that. I get it. You know, he's never hasn't really made his debut in the UFC yet. Does he have money to do this right way? Is he old schooling it? You know, is he in Vegas doing the PI? Where's this guy train and fight out of? So he fights out of Minnesota. He might be in Vegas at the PI. They're going to get him down right. I mean, he's a smaller 45er as it is. But, you know, he's fought some good competition, right? I mean, Nate Williams was his only other loss. You know, he beat Damon Hill by rear naked choke. Has a little bit of a ground game. And then he beat Wilson Negroni. It's not his name, but this is what it looks like. Rear naked choke as well. Seemed to kind of be his signature move and then just got knocked around by Danny Silva, who was much larger than him. However, boy didn't quit. Callum's got to do something here. This dude with all that talk, a lot of Irishmen like running mouth. I like it. I encourage it. I'm a fan of it. But he's got to do something here, man. He's got to come out, and I don't know if he's going to finish, but he's got a huge number next to his name at minus 360, minus 345, moderate favorite according to Tapology's update. It's cool, but it's kind of fucking with me as well. I won't get into it. But anyway, I'm going Longden here. I'm going him. Probably by decision is the best bet. They don't have the first one, two, three, four, five fights on DK do not have any prop bets. It's Thursday, boys. I record on Thursday so I can talk props, so I can bring out that big old fucking green hammer for you. I wasn't going to prop bet this anyway, but there are no props available for this fight. I like Longden by decision. I don't know if he's going to get Pacheco out of there. Unless he completely gasses from the weight cut, but I doubt it. All right, next up, Andre Petroski. Petroski plus 190 versus Jacob Malkoon, minus 238. Has this line moved at all? 210. Money's coming in on Petroski, which is fine. This is going to be a battle of grapplers, right? Both guys have pretty good high motors. The over under set at 2.5. I like the over at minus 190, almost a green hammer. I went the other way. I kind of hate the green hammer. I should switch it right now. Why don't you switch it, Brian? I'm not gonna. I like the over in this. Petroski's the better submission grappler. I think Malkoon is the better wrestler. Petroski got exposed a little bit in the Jared Mershgard fight. I think he's going to get exposed here. Malkoon has a high motor, strong, big dude. A little bit of a chin issue on Malkoon, though. Malkoon's been knocked out before. He's been wobbled before. He's been shaky before. He's been put in a couple potholes. Petroski's a big dude. If he didn't just, you know, develop that bigness into some striking, we'd be all right. But listen, big number on Petroski. I'm going to go Petroski here. Plus 195 is what he's at currently. That's what I like. I like Andre here. I don't know how he's going to get it done. Maybe a late third round submission, catch him in some kind of choke. But I think he learned his lesson in the GM fight that he needs to get better. If this is a stand-up fight, I like Petroski. If it's a ground fight, I like Malkoon controlling position. But the way these judges, they don't judge position, they judge offense. And Petroski could, I've said his name four different ways. This John A. would kill me. Petroski, Andre, hometown kid, by the way, as well. He could get a decision win by just being more scrappy, by landing offense. Positions aren't going to win you fights anymore. At least a lot of the time they won't. They shouldn't. You got to have some kind of offense. So I'll be taking a lot of drinks because I got a little trickle in the back of my throat. Give me Andre Petroski, plus 195. Dogging it up. Where's my dog at? God, I've... Was this it?
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, this is dog.
Yeah, this is dog. First dog of the night. Excuse me. And I don't love it, but I'm willing to dance with it. I'll dance with plus 195 for sure. All right, next up, Victoria Dudakova, plus 130 versus Melissa Gatto, minus 155. You got experience in Gatto, who's been in there with some of the best in the division. Doesn't really have many wins, but she's been in there, right? She's 2-2 in the UFC. It's got some wins over medium competition, but finishes, which is what you like to see. Second and third round finishes, and Tracy Cortez is grappler, and then Andrea Lipsky, very close fight. She could have won either way. 2-2. Then you get Dudakova coming off the Contender Series, I believe, right? Contender Series girl. Lost and then won, got the contract. She's 0-2. What am I thinking of? Am I clicking on? Okay, I'm clicking on the wrong person. I brought up UFC stats to go, wait a second. I don't think Dudakova's lost. because she slammed Estela Nunez in her elbow and the fucking elbow went. Dudikova, good wrestler, good grappler, needs to put up the volume a little bit, which she did her last fight against Junyun Frye. Couldn't really land the takedowns over Junyun Frye. Junyun got one takedown, but she outvolumed him, landed 77 strikes, knocked her down one time. Excuse me. This is annoying. I apologize. And then on the contender series, you know, she used her takedown and grappling to great effect. You get experience versus young talent here. I'm going to go Dudikova. I'm going to go younger, better upside, plus 130. Let's see if it's staying the same here at plus 130. Yeah, Dudikova is plus 135 now. I mean, you could find a worse dog. I don't have the soundboard or the sound clip on my thing, but man, you know, I'm starting to worry that I don't know chicks anymore. A big swing and a miss in some of these female fights, but I like Dudikova. I like saying her name. I think she can grind this one out, and we'll find out. All right, next up, Ibo. Let's go Ibo. That's fun. And his last name's Asian, but I'm sure it's not pronounced Asian. I'm going to go Asian. Sure, he's Turkish. Ibo versus Anton Turkali rematch. These boys fought outside the UFC. Ibo's knocking everybody out. He's 12-1. He currently is a minus 130 favorite. Let's see. This guy has got to be moving. Minus 125. A little bit in Turkali's favor. Turkali plus 105. You know, Ibo is, and I can't wait to hear how they actually really pronounce his name. It's probably Ibo, right? Ibo? Let's go Ibo. Ibo is big, powerful dude who swings. He wants to knock you out. He's 205-pound, just beefcake, Turkish power. However, he's sloppy. And he's gotten a little bit better against Turkali. And Turkali's coming off a little bit of a shaky performance, but he's been in the show. He's losing in the show. Out Jaltina made a rear naked choke. Very good fighter. Vitor Petrino took him to a decision. Very good fighter. Tyson Pedro knocked him out in round one. Surprising because Tyson Pedro isn't really, you know, but Tyson Pedro's got some snap, got some motion to him too. So what are we going to do? I like Turkali. I like Turkali in the rematch. He submitted him last time, but Ibo, like, he wanted to clinch with Turkali a lot. He didn't want to fight in distance. They clinched a lot, and then he got tired in the clinch, got taken down, and got choked out. Ibo isn't the guy that's going to keep at range. He's going to swarm you with punches, and he could catch Turkali for sure. Turkali is a little shaky right now. The pleasure man, the most arrogant guy I've ever seen in the contender series, he might be shaken. He might actually have a little bit of a confidence shake here, but I think if he can withstand some of those big, big, big fucking Ibos, nailed it, I think he can survive this and win a decision. Don't know if he's going to get the submission again. Maybe I see Ibo slowing down dramatically because he throws everything he's got into those shots. I think Turkali is going to be smart here. He's been in the fucking show. He's going to get a win. I like Turkali at dog money as well. That's another one, dog.
Okay, this is dog.
Okay, this is dog. That's two. That's fucking two, boys. That's fucking two. All right, next up, we got Connor Matthews, who is a plus 105, or he was. He hit plus 105. He's near even versus Dennis Bazook, Longo guy, who is a minus 125 small favorite. Oh man, Dennis. So took contender series fight, lost at Melsick, went and won a fight, got brought back in the contender series, won the contender series fight. They said that a little too boring. Went and beat up some guys who he should have beat up, finished them. Got a short notice call. What was it? Couple days against Sean Woodson. Missed weight. Looked bad. Gassed. Sean Woodson tossed him around. Gets a full camp against Jamal Emmers. Emmers missed weights, and he gets starched out in 49 seconds. It's hard to judge what kind of skill he has. He's with a very good camp. He has slowed down in some fights, which is very rare for Longo guys. They typically don't gas, but he has slowed down. Not really sure if he wants to be a grappler or a striker. Connor Matthews, former, I don't know what branch of military was. He's a military man. Much respect to him. But he's tough. But I don't know if he's super skilled. They're both with great camps. You know, he wants to get the fight to the ground. He wants to submit you. And he's beaten some guys that aren't so great, right? His win before he got to the contender series, which he got completely beat up by Francis Marshall, was a guy named Josh Hardy, who's 1-2. Rear naked choke round one. after the loss of Francis Marshall, he goes out and he rear naked chokes another guy in the first round, 6-4, Andrew Cruz. Then gets a fight in the contender series against an undefeated guy and wins a decision. Grappling, and he's tough. But the record, I mean, he's got a guy, he's got Jay Ellis on his record. Jay Ellis is 16-109. He's got Jay Ellis on his record. Does he have him twice? Okay, no, he does. There was one fighter that had him twice. I'm going to go Dennis. I'm going to go Long Island here. I know it's kind of a home game for both of them. You know, Jersey's close to Boston as well, but I would obviously would say more so Dennis Bazook. And I just think he needs it more. He loses this. He's cut. He's a young kid. He's 26 years old. This is a winnable fight, right? Jamal Emmers might have been a little too much. Sean Woodson with how fucking giant that guy is on short notice might have been a little too much. This is a guy who's very similar to you, was on the contender series twice, and this is a winnable fight. You know, he beats people up outside the UFC that he should be winning. In the UFC, the fucking show, you got to show up. I'm going to go Dennis here. I'm not super confident in it. I know I blindly pick Longo guys, and everyone sucks my dick, or everyone says I suck their dick, and I get beat up on it or whatever. I don't know Dennis Bazook. I've actually kind of like followed him and I said some really nice things about him. And I know, like, you know, I kind of, you know, Longo and all, but he doesn't give a fuck about me. But with that being said, I have no problem with him. I just don't know him. So I had no like legion to pick him. I do think he can win this fight over Conor Matthews. I think they're matching him up well here. His UFC career is on the line and he's got to figure it the fuck out. And I think he needs to. All right, next up, Julio Arce, -395. I know this line's gone up. -455 versus Herbert Burns, +350 underdog. So, yeah, I'm crossing my arms. Julio Arce, off for a year, not the most active guy, not the youngest guy either. Kind of a hometown guy, New York, going up to 45. Not the biggest 35er, decides I'm going up to 45. Herbert Burns, a pretty good 45er. But Herbert Burns just stinks, man. I can't believe he's got a win over Nate the Train. I can't fucking believe it. Knocked him out. That shocks me. Because Herbert Burns just does not have that dog in him. We talk about people that have that dog in him. Herbert Burns does not have that dog in him. There's a fucking couple cats running around that boy's chest. There ain't no dog in him. But he's going to have the size on Arce, right? Arce has some pretty good 92% takedown offense. Pretty good takedown offense. Good boxing. Does he have the power? Does he have the size to take down, you know, stop Herbert and finish Herbert? I don't know. It's a big number. I get it. But when you're 14 fight card, and a lot of these fights I think are, I'm not seeing so well, I guess, this is a guy I think is going to get it done. I don't think Herbert Burns is going to be able to take him down. I'm not worried about the size. Ladies, tell the guys out there, size don't mean everything. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? That's true, right? Like size don't mean everything, right? At least, you know, my, you know, people have told me that. But anyway, Herbert Burns' size won't matter. His wrestling's not that great. He's good on the ground. He's dangerous round one. If you want to play Herbie Burns, you want to play Herbie the Love Boat, right? You want to play him? There's no props. You want to play him first round submission? Go ahead. Great number. Fucking gorgeous number. After that, though, ain't going to happen. I like Julio Arce. I slimed him up. He's a slime daddy. And I like him here. Doesn't matter if he's undersized. Doesn't matter if he's been a year off. I just can't bet Herbert Burns. I don't think he's that good of a fighter. He's got some good wins on his record, which is crazy. And if I get burned by Herbert Burns again, I'm going to take it out on somebody or something for sure. But give me Julio Arce. And that's the end of it. That's it. All right. Vina Jendrojoba, +170 versus Lupita Gomez, -205. And has this line moved? Yeah, I mean, a little bit. This fight's going to be basically Vina Jendrojoba with one of the best hairs in all of MMA. She'll be hunting for takedowns. She probably won't get many, maybe one. Lupi has been so active and so aggressive in her losses. She's learned from it. She's getting better, and her stand-up and her volume is improving, and she can wrestle and grapple a little bit too. That's why I think she's going to shut Jendrojoba down, who is a fantastic grappler when it hits a mat, but as far as getting it there, I don't think she's elite. I think Loopy's going to stuff that. I think Loopy's going to beat her up on the feet. Don't see a finish. I like the over in this fight. I think a decision win by Loopy Gomez is, it could be a fucking mortal lock if you want to throw it there. You know, if you want to wheel it, you want a mortal lock and wheel that motherfucker. Loopy Gomez by mortal lock is, or by decision mortal lock is very, very much in play. But I like her by decision. I'm picking Loopy, not locking her up, not sliming her up. Okay. Not doing any of that, not getting crazy, but I do like her. And hopefully I can get these two female fights right here and I can go back to knowing chicks. Okay. You know, I need to know chicks. All right. Next up, Nate the Train, baby. Nate Land, we are plus 170. I think he's gone up to plus 180. Nah, plus 170 versus Jamal Emmers, minus 205. So everyone wants the Nate the Train soundboard. The sound clip, Nate the Train, baby, UFC. I found one that makes me laugh every time. Nate the Train is electric. I'll break down the fight in a minute here. But I'm picking Nate the Train.
Hey, San Antonio, take a look at his bicep. Woo! Nate the Train in the UFC.
That's what happens when I laugh now. I fucking cough. I'm an old man. Nate the Train, hey, San Antonio, look at his bicep. Nate the Train in the UFC. He tweeted out or Instagrammed out, wait till you see this bicep. He looks to be in phenomenal shape. He looks great. Post-USADA is working out for Nate the Train Landwehr, who was a killer in Russia. Make no mistakes about it. He has beaten some top-flight Russian competition. Running into a knee with Herbert Burns and running into a knee with Julian Arosa isn't ideal. But he has looked good in the fights that he has won. He's a dog. He gets after it. He's ugly in there. The Dean Ige fight, he got dropped a few times. Not great, but that's an elite-level guy. Jamal Emmers, 27. He's got a great record. He's fought his who, but he ain't beat nobody in the UFC. You know what I mean? Close fights. I mean, yeah, sure. He could have won the Giga fight. Very close. Split decision. Lost to Sabatini. Beat Vince Cachero. Beat Kasum Askabob, right? Who was, I guess, undefeated at the time, but I don't know who that is. And then beat Dennis Bazook in 49 seconds. One fight of the night, right? Besides that, Pat Sabatini, you know, boom. He could have won the Jack Jenkins fight, but he's not winning fights, and he's never won back-to-back fights in the UFC, and he's coming off back-to-back. He's coming off a win, right? And he's never won back-to-back fights. Pressure's going to get to him. He's coming off that one-punch, 49-second knockout. He's going to be hand-happy, which Jamal Emmers, by knockout round one, is where I think you're live at, boys. Where Jamal Emmers by KO is plus 275. Let's see Jamal Emmers by KO in round one. Huh? Jamal Emmers by KO in round one, plus 550. Now we're talking. Nate gets caught early. If you want to take out the Train, you got to derail that motherfucker early, because once it starts picking up steam, he's going to drown you, right? And he looks to be in phenomenal shape. You know, he's a character. He cuts these promos. He's great. But he's a high-level athlete. He was a track and field star. This guy can move. This guy's got motor. And Jamal Emmers has slowed down in the past. And Nate's going to make it ugly, right? If Nate doesn't get put out round one, he's going to make it ugly. So if I was you, I would play Jamal Emmers round one KO. That's a gorgeous number. But I like Nate the Train. How could I pick against Nate the Train? It's my dog lock.
Hello? Okay, this is dog.
That's it, dog. Dog lock, Nate the Train. I'm betting it. I haven't bet it yet because I think the line's going to move. I also think you can get a really good live number. I think Nate might have a tough first round if he doesn't get finished. And after that, you're playing with good plus money, because Nate only gets better as the fight goes. And Emmer's sometimes fight IQ isn't the best. He struggles in the fight IQ situation. So give me Nate the Train, and we're hearing the soundbite one more motherfucking time, because it makes me laugh every motherfucking time. I love this guy, man. I need to get Nate the Train merch. Someone point me in the direction of Nate the Train merch. I follow him on social media. He doesn't post much, but if Nate the Train has merch, I am fucking buying it. All right, next up, Chidi Mangbang Njokuani, minus 148 versus Reese McKee, plus 124. A lot of people I respect, they like Reese McKee, still an underdog. Chidi Njokuani coming down to 170 for the first time since 2016. And I believe he's on record somewhere saying that he'll never cut the 170. And now he's back, right? He's 6'3", he's older. He's fighting Reese McKee, who's 6'2". And this is going to be a one-round fight. Chidi's got to win in round one. Because even though he's at 170, you got to do the proper conditioning and proper weight cut and proper everything. And listen, I don't even know if he's going to make weight, right? Let's see if he makes weight first. Let's watch the scales. But he's going against a bigger 170 as well. And Christian Costello, friend of the program, been on the podcast. You know, he does the pay-per-views. Won't let me down that I picked Reese McKee over Chimaev. Now, let me explain myself, because that really happened. I bet it as well. There was a guy that was a part of the podcast who thought Chimaev was the next big thing, right? And he ended up being right. Chimaev is very good, right? He'll definitely fight for a title, maybe be champion one day. The guy was right. I didn't want him to be right, okay? I was like, no. I missed the boat on Chimaev. I've admitted that a million times on this podcast. I missed the boat on Chimaev. So I didn't want to admit. And Reese McKee had a Cage Warriors record. He looked pretty good. I'm like, nah. Reese McKee can squeak this one out, and he got blown away. However, you know, he proved tough, and Reese McKee is a tough dude. See, a lot of people picking Reese McKee as an underdog here. My guy, Kenny Florian, who's been pretty hot. He's beating me right now in the Anakin Florian main event challenge, place your bets, whatever you want to call it. He loves Chidi. He put a lot of money on Chidi, put him in a parlay, huh? So he's all in on Chidi. He was all in on Cameron Simon, which made me switch my pick. And I went with Simon, and he got dog walked, and my first instinct went out the window. My first instincts was Chidi. I'm going Chidi bang bang. I think round one, after round one, maybe load up on Reese McKee. But if Chidi doesn't finish in round one, we got a problem. Load up on Reese McKee is what I'm going to say, right? But I like Chidi. I'm going to go Chidi minus 148. Don't hate it. Don't love it. Not putting him anywhere near a parlay. He's not touching that slime ball. He's not near the green hammer. But yeah, so this is a good live bet. I think it's not going to go to decision. I think Chidi's going to get finished. Dogger Pass Podcast, shout out those boys. Paul Shaughnessy and Cody both were kind of flirting with Reese McKee round three. And I think they said it was, at the time, it was like 1,800, 18-1, maybe 14-1, whatever it was. Great number. Play that as well. Play that as well. All right, next up, you got Bill Algeo versus Kyle Nelson. Bill Algeo minus 238, Kyle Nelson plus 195. What a different career Kyle Nelson has had, right? You know, I don't know if he had a full-time job and he's taking MMA more seriously now. You know, he was in the wasn't he in the UFC and they get cut? No, I guess he didn't. He's been in the UFC from day one. Debuted against Diego Ferrara. Comes out like a bout out of hell. Gasses, loses. Loses to Matt Sales in the third round because he gassed. Matt Sales, that's an ugly loss. When there's ugly losses, that's an ugly loss. That is... So what? That's the girl at the end of the night after 14 beers and you're rocked up and you need something. That is that ugly of a loss, Matt Sales. Rebounds well against Paulo Reyes, loses to Billy Quarantino. And then Jai Herbert decision loss. He just got outstruck. Draw over Duo Choi, which very competitive fight. And then two decision wins against good guys, Blake and Fernando Padilla. He is working on his cardio. Before that, he's getting finished and he's doing all these things. Now his cardio's in check. Now he's working it. He's a grinder. Doesn't want to take you down. Wants to put you against the cage. He wants to beat you up. He wants to fuck you up. Bill Algeo's shifty. Bill Algeo is crafty. He moves. His hands are up. He's a funky dude. He's a long-range guy. His wrestling is okay. He gets taken down a lot. Kyle can probably maybe get a couple takedowns here. Kyle wants to fight mainly... on the cage, tire you out. Bill Algeo, that motherfucker ain't gonna get tired, right? Ain't getting tired. But he's not a prolific finisher, right? 4 wins by KO, 7 wins by submission, 7 wins by decision. The only way I think Bill Algeo wins is by KO, and I don't think he's KOing Kyle Nelson. I don't think he's gonna submit Kyle Nelson. Unless Kyle Nelson fucking betrays me. My brain fart, I couldn't think of a word. Betrays me. And it's cardio shit again. This is your green hammer. Let me pull this motherfucker out, huh? Let me pull this big boy out, huh? What do you think about this thing here, huh? What do you think about this motherfucker, huh? Does size matter with this? Woo! So I don't know why I'm getting so excited. I overhyped the green hammer. This is the green hammer. Bill Algeo, Kyle Nelson, over 2.5, minus 230. Okay? I've lost 2 weeks in a row. I need a win. I think this is a guaranteed dub. Kyle Nelson, cardio improved. Toughness is there. Bill Algeo is not a prolific finisher. Could win a decision easily. I like Bill Algeo to win a decision here. I think he's going to outclass him. But over 2.5 minus 230. And nope. Hit the wrong button. He slimed up as well. Bill Algeo slime ball parlay. Leg two. And Green Hammer. Green Hammer, slime ball, both on the same fight. I typically avoid it, but something drew me right here. Wasn't quite a lightning strike. Wasn't quite a lightning strike, but something drew me to this and was like, you got to go, Bill. You got to go over. It's going to be a dog fight, but Bill's the better guy. All right. I'll see you next week, bud. I'll see you next week. Smashing shit next week. All right, there we go. All right, next up, Nursultan Ruzaboyev. Minus 258, he's moving versus Cedric Dumas. His line is moving. So, if you haven't seen yet, so minus 270, not too bad. I think I saw him on DraftKings, actually pretty low, right? What is it? Minus 218 on DraftKings, nice. So, obviously, slimed up if you watched the Anakin Florian, which came out last night. If you haven't seen that, go watch it. It's a great show. I'm heavy on Nursultan Ruzaboyev. Listen, I got a comment on the Anakin Florian. He's like, I'm an idiot because he only fights one round. He hasn't been out in the first round in years. That's not the worst thing in the world. It is if you're 7-0. It is if you're 5-0. But when you're 33-8, what is his fucking record? What is it? 33-8-2? It ain't the worst thing in the world. And I know he has a third round victory. Back in 2019, corner stoppage, third round, whatever. That's the last time he got out of the, and then before that, you know, anytime he gets out of the first round, he typically loses. You know, he's lost to some good guys. He's also some like kind of journeyman because they extend him. He doesn't finish him. However, this dude trains out of Philly now. He's Philly tough, right? He's got chokes. He's got KOs. He's beaten people that are pretty fucking good, right? And he's 6'5". Dumas, got some things outside the cage, man. Got some chick problems. Got arrested before he got in UFC. I don't know if he got arrested, but there was a video out where he was banging on some chick's door. I don't really know. Innocent till proven guilty, but he's got some shit outside the UFC. He's posting on IG, smoking cigars. Is this dude focused on fighting? He's 9-1. He's in a 2-fight win streak. However, focused on fighting or not, I don't think he's good. He's 6'3", he's long, no volume, no power, he's getting better in the grappling, he's learning as he goes, he's athletic, can be explosive, but I don't see it. Ruzaboyev is explosive, he's coming for round one, and I like round one finish as well. I'm going to play that. I got $1,000 on Ruzaboyev on the Anakin Florian money as well, the only bet I made this week. This is also my mortal lock.
He's a mortal lock, and I'm going to wheel him.
Yeah. My mortal lock, I'm going to win. I'm all in on Ruzaboyev. After one fight, I'm in. But I've watched his fights, and I know the losses don't look good because he's gasses. But Dumas isn't finishing this dude. This dude doesn't get finished very often. He's got fucking 40-something fights. He doesn't get finished, right? Dumas isn't a finisher either. So if Ruzaboyev just completely gasses, I think he'll be up two rounds. Might not win that third, right? And we're up two rounds, possibly draw. Play a draw if you want. But I like Ruzaboyev here. I'm in. People are kind of doubting me. The line has moved. Everyone asked me, Brian, do you think you move lines? Fuck no. I put $1,000 fake dollars on Ruzaboyev, and the line went in Dumas's favor. So people are fading me, which is fantastic. If I'm anything, I'm honest. I said on the Anakin Florian that I was going to put possibly the biggest unit play this year on Ruzaboyev. I'm still that much confident in Ruzaboyev. What I wasn't confident in, what I wasn't prepared for, was that my DraftKings account wasn't as high as I thought, right? So I was on Monday, I'm excited, I'm doing the show. I think I said maybe close to 10 units, yada, yada. I got to walk that back a little bit, okay? Got to walk that back just a little bit because if I do 10 units, then I don't have a lot to play with from the rest of the card. There's a lot of bets I do like. So we're looking at probably 6-7. So not quite 10, still a hefty amount on Ruzaboyev, but not quite 10 like I originally said earlier this week. Again, I'm an honest man. I'm telling you right now, the bet hasn't been placed yet. I've only placed it one bet, and that was the slime ball. Slime ball and green hammer, that's it. So I haven't placed this bet yet, but it will be about 6 or 7 units come Friday or Saturday when I place the bet. So I want to walk that back just a little bit, okay? Because people are going to be hitting me up like, hey, but there are 1,000 fake dollars in the competition I have with Kenny that I'm already losing. So if he loses, I'm fucked. But the only way I think he loses is if he completely gasses out. But he's in that Philly crew. Those Philly guys are in shape, if they're anything. I like Rosa Bulyev as well. Mortar locked him up. And let's go. Next up, Chris Weidman. He is a +230 versus Bruno Silva. We don't talk about Bruno. No. -285. This one's tough because I like Chris Weidman. I'm picking Bruno Silva. I did on the Indica Florian. I'm not switching. I actually got two plays for this. We have a new bet that I'm going to debut. I don't have a soundbite for it yet, but I'm completely ripping this off Barstool because I love it, right? And I do this every weekend. I do this myself, and I feel like I need to share it with the beautiful people that watch. So my pick is Bruno Silva by knockout. He's my send him home as well. Do I have Johnny?
Send him home early.
I think Bruno's going to clip him. -120 by the knockout on Bruno Silva. Chris Weidman is washed. He is. Shouldn't have came back. I love Chris Weidman. You defended your title 3 times. You beat Anderson Silva. You have nothing to prove. You're almost 40. I know you got your leg broke, like basically in the first round against Brad Tavares, but you look slow. You show toughness. You're a tough guy, but you look slow. And you're not training in Long Island anymore. You're in South Carolina. I don't love all those things, right? Injured, really nothing to fight for. Unless he's fighting for money, which obviously money's always an incentive. But he's a former champion. Defended the belt 3 times. Like, there's nothing to me that he needs to do. So, Bruno Silva by KO. It's my send him home. But for the new bet, and again, I do this every weekend. It's for the vibes. For the vibes, babe. We need good vibes here. I want everybody to get on a vibes bet. I'm not going to track this bet. What it is, probably going to be a prop bet. Every week, I'm going to give out a prop bet, a long shot, right? It's going to have to be over 5, +5, right? Nothing less than 5-1. It is going to be for the vibes. A lot of people like Chris Weidman. I love Chris Weidman. Ray Longo is going to be there. I've never met Chris. Seems like a great guy. And he's a legend, Hall of Famer. So for the vibes, Chris Weidman, because make no mistake about it, Chris Weidman could win this fight if he really went out there and wrestled. Bruno Silva's not the best wrestler, so forth. But the vibes bet, drop my pen. Chris Weidman by submission +650 for the vibes, baby. Hey, for the I gotta get some like groovy like vibe music for that one. For the vibes, Chris Weidman by submission +650. However, that's a vibe bet. My real bet on the record, that's gonna count, is Bruno Silva knockout, possibly round one. If not, round two, that's -120. Bruno Silva -285. I didn't put him in a parlay out of respect for Chris, but I think Chris could look good in the first round. He could take him down. You know, Chris has got some really good chokes. If he doesn't rush anything, if he goes back to the Chris of old, but I just don't know if he can. And Bruno's been in there with some top flight competition while Chris has been healing. And I think the game is kind of past him. The 85 pound fighters are different now. Give me Bruno Silva. But for the vibes, Chris Weidman +650. All right, next up. Vicente Luque -112. Basically a pick 'em fight we got here, boys, versus, near even, versus Joaquin Buckley -108. Again, I don't want to sound like a broken record because I've already picked all these fights and you've probably already seen that. Because that show's much bigger than mine. But I like Joaquin Buckley. People are trying to talk me out of Buckley. They're trying to get me on Luque. I think Luque is going to try to wrestle a little bit. I think Joaquin Buckley is going to defend that. I think his athleticism is going to be a little surprising, Luque. I think Luque's speed disadvantage is going to be a problem when Luque gets hit. I think Buckley's not the cleanest striker in the world, but he's fucking powerful. And he's fast as fuck. I think Luque's chin maybe has seen better days. I think Luque needs to wrestle to win this fight. And I don't know if he can wrestle Joaquin Buckley. He's got a great darce. He's got great front chokes. So Buckley rushes to get up. Look at Vicente Luque by submission. That's not a bad number. But I'm going Buckley. I had him earlier this week at dog money, but I didn't place the bet. Right now he's near even. A lot of people like Luque. So hopefully Buckley starts getting to the plus money when it's time for me to bet him. But I'm taking Buckley. Not overly confident, but I do think Buckley gets him out of there. And what is Buckley by KO? I'm curious. Because I think that's the only way he can win. This is almost my send him home. I usually kind of go, how can a guy win? And usually the only way they can win is by knockout. That's my send him home. That's my thought process for you guys to get in the mind of old BP here. By KO plus 240, yeah, I'm going to play that. I'm going to play that because I think Buckley can clip him. I think Buckley can get him out of there. All right, next up, main event, Erin Blanchfield, my little sweet sweetie. She is a minus 185 versus Manon Fiol. She is a plus 165 underdog. Blanchfield's up to 200 now. I have a crush on Erin Blanchfield, obviously, but I'm not her type, unfortunately. It's okay. She's amazing. She's an incredible fighter. She's young. She's getting better, but the grappling got stifled her last time out. She had to dig deep and fight with the hands, which the hands are a work in progress. She pushes her punches a little bit. She's tough. She's durable. She obviously hits hard. Ferrot, though, Manon Ferrot is a killer kickboxer. Kicks are on point. Movement's on point. And her takedown defense has been proven to be on point. I love Ferrot as the underdog here. I can't pick her, though. My body and brain won't let it. I'm not going to bet this fight. Not sliming her up. I'm picking Blanchfield. And it's not because I have a crush on her, okay? Christian always gets mad at me because I get personal feelings. I think Blanchfield is the better fighter. I just think this is a bad matchup for her. I think if Blanchfield in maybe a year or two gets a little more seasoned, she can win this fight. If she gets a takedown, multiple takedowns, she can win this fight. She could finish this fight. But I think it's going to play on the feet, and I think Fiol is going to push a shutout. And if she slows down, though, 4 and 5 can get really interesting. I think this is going 5 rounds. Blanchfield could have a come-from-behind victory, which will make me go absolutely fucking bananas. But I think Blanchfield's a better fighter. I just think this is a bad matchup for her. So I'm picking Blanchfield. I know it makes no sense, but I do think Fiol at a plus 160, plus 165, wherever you can get her, I think it's a fucking great number. I think that's a great number. But I just think Blanchfield is going to get it done. I like her. I lean to her. I can't explain. Everything, every analytic, every time I break down this fight, it pushes me to Manon Fiol. It pushes me to her. However, there's just this gut instinct that Blanchfield's going to get it done. I just think she's a special type of fighter. It's almost like a Frankie Edgar version of Frankie. She's not undersized, but Frankie, the undersized dog in there, winning fights when he shouldn't be winning fights, right? He just dug deep and did it. And I feel like Blanchfield, Jersey girl, hometown girl, she's kind of got that same thing, right? She's very skilled, just like Frankie was, but people counting out Frankie, not saying Erin Blanchfield's getting counted out. She's goddamn favorite, 2-1 favorite. But a lot of people do like Manon in this spot, and I can't blame them, but there's just something about it that I just read on Blanchfield that I like her. And come fight time, honestly, it's the last fight of the night. I'm going to bet it. Right now, I'm telling you, I'm not betting it. I'm going to bet the fucking thing, okay? That's what it is. All right, so slime ball parlay is Vicente Luque, or excuse me. Not Vicente Luque. I didn't pick Vicente Luque. Edit that. Here we go. Take two. Nursultan Rozaboyev, Bill Algeo, Julio Arce, plus 160. Not the juiciest, but we need to get on the board. We need to win. That's the slime ball parlay. Mortal lock, Rozaboyev, send him home. Bruno Silva and dog lock, Nate the Train, baby. Greenhammer, Bill Algeo versus Kyle Nelson, over 2.5, minus 230. And the vibes bet, the new bet, the vibes. Chris Weidman by submission, plus 650. it's just a vibe. It's just a vibe. All right, that's it. Let me real quickly, let me take a drink, all right? So if you've been rocking me forever, you know I love Roadhouse. I love the movie. I've seen it more times than any other movie. Just watched it yesterday. I watched the new Roadhouse twice. So first, get out of the way. I didn't like the new Roadhouse. The fight scenes are pretty good. But for a remake, I think they fell a lot short. Conor McGregor, you know, he plays himself. Like, he's not bad. His scenes are... He doesn't have many scenes. Most of the scenes are fight scenes. He's not bad or anything, but he's playing himself. Like, if someone offered me a role of, like, a fucking fathead that drinks Mountain Dew and fucking talks too much and repeats his stories, I win a fucking Oscar. So I'm not blown away by Connors. I think playing that part would be good. Jake Gyllenhaal is a good actor. He was okay in it or whatever. the original, it means nobody can replace Swayze, but Swayze's this cool cooler that everyone knows. He goes bar to bar and he fixes them up and he makes everything cool. And, you know, he trains the bouncers and he knows everything about everything and he's seen it all. You got Jake Gyllenhaal, who basically killed a guy in the UFC ring, is now an alcoholic, fighting some underground promotion and gets spotted by the woman who owns the new Roadhouse and goes and works for her. He doesn't know anything about bouncing. He just sits there most of the time until he finally has to get involved. That's the thing about Roadhouse is it's just a different vibe. I keep saying vibe. It's just different, right? It had a little bit of humor into it. They tried to do that new one where they're in like a boat and Connor has an anchor and he goes, ah, look, our own personal octagon. And Jake's like, who taught you shapes? Like, that's not good. That's just not good dialogue. It's not good writing, right? Like, it's just, it fell flat to me. I wanted to like it, but I didn't. You know, the Roadhouse, the original is untouchable. And if you're going to remake it, you know, remake it right. And if you're going to remake it, give me a call. Because then I'll teach you how to fucking remake it. We can't bring Swayze back, but we can find somebody that can match fucking... Swayze was a ballet dancer slash cowboy whose nickname was Buddy, who chain smoked and fucking pounded beers. Like, that dude's different, right? He can ballet and fuck your girl all night and come in and hang with the boys at the bar. Swayze was a different guy. Jake Gyllenhaal's not that. You know, I'm not going to go too much in on it, but, you know, out of five, I give the new Roadhouse a one and a half. 1.5 stars out of five. That's what I did. People ask me about it, wanted to give my opinion. Just not for me. All right, that's it. Subscribe to the YouTube. Try to get to 2K. Brian PG MMA on all social medias. And that's about does it for us here. 14 fights this weekend. I think it's a pretty fucking good card. My boy Chris Curtis next week. And then the big dog. Then UFC 300, baby. Can't wait. You guys are the best. Mwah, mwah. Kisses. Let's fucking go.